Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Linda with us. So Linda, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Linda Henderson. I am 70 years young, happily married with a blended family of 5 children, 4 here on earth and 1 in heaven. I am a retired nurse of 37 years. I am an author, proud to say that I'm an author. And last but not least, I'm a bereaved mom.
Welcome, Linda. Thank you for your time today. So I start every episode pretty much the same with a single question. How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode, for me, the definition for me, I was in survival mode for quite a few years after losing my Andrea. And it was just an ugly mess of grief with a ball of emotions that were all tangled, and I did not know where I was going, what I was doing, and how I got through day to day. But time is a passageway and pushes us through whether we like it or not. So it was just, I used to always say, I'm just surviving, living, doing the things I have to do, and no enjoyment in life.
I can definitely relate to that. And then when you add grief into that, it's like you're surviving, but having to manage this heavy object of emotions and opinions and loss, really. So Linda, tell us your story to and through survival mode.
My daughter was 27 years old and pregnant. She was a social worker working with the youth of our community. She was a teacher in their literacy program, and so she helped these girls between the ages of 13 and 17 with their reading levels. And they were just working with them to help build them into good citizens in society. On December 20th, 2011, she was out in the community with her co-worker. They had been with a couple of the girls. They had raised money. They were going to adopt a child, and they were quite proud of these girls and their accomplishments. And they had actually just made a call to the head office to say, "Look what we've done. These girls are amazing," and quite happy about where they had, reached that point in helping these girls. They were coming back to the group home where they lived. And Andrea was a passenger in the front seat. Her co-worker was the driver. Their car was stopped. They were waiting to turn left when a transport truck driver who was texting and driving, having an argument with his girlfriend on the phone, hit them. He pushed their vehicle into the oncoming traffic where they were hit yet again by another vehicle. The oncoming vehicle, and they were both killed instantly. That is the day when my life ended. I just wanted to die with her. And it was just about that was survival. That was survival mode. I very often would say to my husband over the years, I feel like a robot. You tell me what I have to do, and I do it. And the 37 years of nursing, I have dealt with death, held the hands of people as they passed on, dealt with families, their loss, their pain, and nothing. At the end of the day, you can go home and say, "Oh, thank God that's not me." But there is in no way all that nursing with the knowledge and working could ever prepare me for this kind of grief because I knew nothing about grief. I n didn't know where to begin. My life was crushed. And how could I breathe from one moment to the next? Never mind live from one day to the next. So it was a journey where I was in those early days, highly medicated. My husband was my caregiver, I guess you could say. He would tell me, "It's time to eat. When did you last shower?" I was so consumed with grief. Why am I going to think of a shower? When am I going to think of eating? It was just survival mode. And in those days, survival mode was help, not even surviving on my own. Yeah.
You mentioned you were in this stage of grief. Your husband was actually prompting you to go do some self-care. What triggered a change in your world?
Well, I think, for the first little while, it was him prompting me to do all the things that I needed for my activities of daily living, just to breathe, just to get through one day through. It was just 1 hour, then one day. And when he went back to work, I realized grief is a whole body experience. It affects your body physically, mentally, cognitively, socially, in every way. So I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't form a sentence to have a conversation. So I started writing things down, like shower, simple little tiny daily tasks, small actions. And so then I would do what was written down on my agenda for me to do. I'm going to shower. So I would go do it. And then slowly, one tiny little step at a time became two things that I could do in a day, or three things that I could do in a day. And slowly, life outside of grief slipped in. A little bit of hope slipped in. I would step out the door and look at the sunshine and just small actions of baby steps. And that moves you forward from the dark moments into the light of life again. and then gradually hooking up with a support group, a group of moms, being around like-minded people who have suffered the same trauma, the same pain. You're supported, you can cry, you can be yourself, and you're understood, and you're seen, and you're heard. And then I connected with my doctor on a regular basis for medication changes. And I had a counselor, and I had the same counselor for 9 years. And slowly that moves you forward, whether you want to or not, because in the beginning, you don't want to. I didn't want to live. I didn't want to be here. There was a time I disappeared from my husband, and I took a bottle of wine and I went down to an isolated area where we live. And it was in the middle of the day, and I drank that wine and I was going to end it. I understand suicidal ideation now. I was going to end it. I did not, it's not that I didn't want to live here with my family. I loved them, but I could not handle the pain, the agony, one more second. And I prayed to God, and I argued with God, and I talked to Andrea, and I'm not sure, but I guess he answered my prayer. There was a tiny little bit of flicker of hope left in my brain that I realized if I do this, then who is going to tell her story? Who is going to honor her? Nobody can honor my daughter like me. And so I got up and I walked home, breathing and broken, determined to be able to deal with grief, not conquer it, but live with it. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, but that was kind of a pivotal moment in my life. And I started educating myself on grief, learning about it, learning that what I felt was normal, that I wasn't going crazy. And I think it starts with educating yourself too, and realizing that, you need to acknowledge all the pain, acknowledge the fear, acknowledge the anger, and give them names because it validates what you're feeling.
You raised so many important points in that answer. And the first one that I heard was the small, consistent steps, right?
Yes,
Like
absolutely.
you didn't go from not showering to managing a whole day. It was, I need to shower, I need to do this. And in order for me to do that, I need to write a list so that I'm conscious of the things that I need to do.
Because I couldn't remember. And then when my husband came home, I would say, guess what I did today? And you celebrate those moments when you're successful and you move yourself along, no matter how tiny that movement is.
And that's also another very important point, right? A lot of times we think that we need to check off big goals in order to celebrate. And one of the things that I learned in my own healing is
Yes,
celebrating the small things, because then that
absolutely.
helps build the momentum and the motivation to do more and apply yourself more so that you can tick off the big things.
That's right. And be kind and gentle to yourself, right? And you also have to realize that if you don't accomplish something, if you don't accomplish what you set out to do, that's okay too, right? That's okay too, because not every day is going to be success, and it's time. It takes time.
Yes, the grace that we give ourselves as we heal from the things that we've been through is something that we don't talk about a lot, right? Like we are very critical of ourselves. And I think that's almost conditioned, right? We have almost been conditioned to focus on the negative things, that we don't really know how to focus on the positive things, right?
That's
And then
right.
as a result of that, we don't give ourselves grace. And that's across the board. Even outside of trauma, even outside of grief, we don't give ourselves grace for real life events. Like, for instance, I might be late to an event because of circumstance outside of
A
my
situation
control.
that happened, yeah.
And I would beat myself up about it because time is something that means a lot to me. But the truth of the matter is, there are times where I may be late because of other circumstances and I can give myself grace. It's not saying, well, I'm excusing my lateness, but just circumstances happen as they do. And we, instead of beating myself up, I will be more constructive by just giving myself some
Some grace.
space. Yes,
Yes, that's
absolutely.
right.
You
Yes.
also mentioned using a community. Right,
Yes.
finding your people who can relate to you. And
Oh, app, yeah,
oftentimes,
for sure.
whether it's with trauma or with grief, we tend to isolate. We tend to isolate and deal with our issues, which often keeps us in that dark space for a very long time because we perpetuate our thoughts over and over. And anyone who has listened to this podcast has heard me say we recycle 95% of our thoughts. So if we are just isolating, we're just going to go into this repetitive downward cycle. But being
And society
able.
gives the message that they don't understand and they don't have time, and that you should be healed by now. Like, are you still there? And people just don't understand. So that makes you isolate and go within yourself and just put your hands up and say, nobody understands anyway. So why bother telling them, right?
Exactly. That is so true. And that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, if I'm honest, Linda, because I recognize as when I wrote my memoir that I know that there are thousands of people who will understand this journey. And if I don't share it, then I can't help anyone else. I started with this podcast, with this storytelling, and wanting to share these stories so that people can self-identify. Like, I may not have lost a daughter, but I'm grieving, and I can connect with you because I understand what grieving looks like and how, if like you said, if you don't experience it yourself, you are less likely to understand the nuances of that healing journey. But we create community with through sharing our stories, and I think
For
one of
sure,
the
for
things
sure.
that we dismiss ourselves from when we isolate is creating that community that can help aid our healing.
Oh, it is so helpful. In the beginning, like I said, for me, it was just to be surrounded, and it was a small group of women, but everybody knew everybody's circumstances were different around the loss of their child, but it was a mother who was going through pain. And so that is so helpful and so healing. And again, reaching out with counseling. And through the years now, since I've written my book, I have connected with so many people in the grieving community, people I've never met, people like yourself through these groups and online. And it is so helpful. I think I have healed more. I wrote my book 9 years into my journey, and from that point on, I believe I healed more because I was around like-minded people. I talk to them. I can phone anyone. There's so many people there that understand, and it's so important.
One of the steps of grief is acceptance. And I know a lot of people, whether or not they have been traumatized or are dealing with grief, have this resistance to acceptance because it's almost like a condonement, right? Like, I condone this thing. I'm curious to understand how acceptance helped in your healing process and how you view it, having gone through the acceptance process of grieving.
I guess for me, I do not believe that there are those so-called stages of grief, because people, you get the idea that you go through these stages, and then, it's like, Okay, so it's done now. So I should be feeling good. You can go through those stages that they talk about grief for years, and you can go through them all in one day and next week all over again. I've had to think about how people have asked, how have you done this? You know, it's 13 years coming on 14 years, December 20th. And how have you done this? How have you reached the point of having power? Power to tell my story, telling other people that you have the power to get through this, right? To get past the survival mode. And for me, it's acknowledgement, action, which I talked a little bit about, but acknowledgement, action, and appreciation. And those are th the three pillars that really have helped me up. Acknowledgement is just what I'm doing today, like you said, telling my story over and over so that I can help other people, give inspiration, hope, and empowerment. And then acknowledging in the beginning, acknowledgement is shed those tears, scream that anger, say I'm depressed because you are, say you're sad, give names, acknowledge all of the emotional trauma, the everything involved with it. So acknowledgement starting from the beginning with acknowledging all the emotions, and then acknowledgement, I acknowledge her every day. So I guess you could say that that's acceptance for me, that I had to acknowledge the fact that she's not ever coming home again, and I have to work through this, and how am I going to do that? And then followed up with the actions, those tiny actions that later become bigger actions. And then hope creeps in. Hope is the anchor for grief and trauma and PTSD. I've had that, the treatment for it, all of it. But when we start to cultivate hope in our life, you know, it's like little embers of the fire, you know, they start to grow and get bigger, and appreciation sets in. And then as time went on, I appreciate life. I appreciate being Andrea's mother. I am so grateful that she was my daughter. And I appreciate when I go for a walk, those beautiful weeds that have. The weed, they're weeds, but they have beautiful blossoms on them. My husband says to me, "You realize you're taking a picture of a weed, eh?" Yes, but look how beautiful it is. So appreciation then becomes part of the whole process.
And I appreciate that with you saying that. And I've said it before. I think someone's level of gratitude often depicts the healing process that they've gone through, right? And to be able to be grateful, even in grief, that, you know, this was my daughter, I was her mother, you know, I had time with her, I have memories with her. I think it's so important. A lot of times we don't anchor enough into the things that we're grateful for. And I think when we can get to a point in our healing where there is this level of gratitude and a level of acceptance, it
Oh,
is so
for sure.
freeing, you know. Grief is very similar to trauma. It is a form of trauma, but it's very similar in that there is this expectation, and you spoke to it earlier, that eventually you will stop grieving, or eventually
Or
you will
aren't you
no
through that
longer.
trauma yet? You know, haven't you gotten over that yet? And it's not, it's lifelong. It's
It
lifelong, right?
is.
And I relate to trauma because I know the trauma, the sudden death, the trauma, it's still with me. It never goes away. It never goes anywhere. It's in every fabric of my being, just like trauma, whatever the situation that caused that trauma, it's in you. You just have to. And it's going to surface, you have to just learn to live with it. And it's time consuming.
And that's exactly what I was gonna say. You know, there is this fallacy that we get rid of it, but no, it's forever present, and we use tools and tricks and healing to learn how to manage it in our day-to-day. So it isn't the forefront of how we show up every day, but we get to a point where it's also no longer driving us as well. Now, like some elements of you are probably still driven by your grief, right? And you spoke about, now I use that to empower others. I mean, that's still grief driving the ship in a way, but it's moved from a negative perspective now to an empowering one. So like my grief is still here. Yes, I'm still dealing with this, but I've healed enough to also help someone else. And I often say that to me, that's the definition of self-actualization, like getting through the hard stuff. Getting to a point of gratitude and freedom, but now wanting to help others and help someone else get to that point as well, which
And
I think
helping is
is
healing, right?
absolutely. I think it's so rewarding. And I always smile when I have these conversations with people and they mention gratitude on their own. And to me, it's just a testament of the healing that has taken place, because I've also had conversations, some of which I have not been aired simply because I could sense that the person hadn't gotten to a solid place of healing. And it's not something that I want to sensationalize because I understand that everybody's healing journey is different. But I always smile when I hear gratitude or appreciation. And, it's such a freeing part of the healing process.
It really is. It really is to appreciate life because life is a gift.
Absolutely. So, Linda, I have enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for sharing your story. Tell us a bit more about your book and then how we can find you online.
My book is called, it's a memoir of my journey of 9 years up to that point, the journey of child loss. And it's called The Road of Love and Hope, The Journey of Child Loss. It's available on Amazon, and it can also be purchased through my website, which is authorlindahenderson.com. It is, I wrote in the first 6 months that I lost Andrea. I was born and raised in a Christian home and believe in heaven. And so I wanted to read books about near-death experiences. I wanted to learn as much about heaven from that way as I don't know why, but that's what I needed. So I got all these books, and one of them was written by a psychologist or some scientist. And I'm like, okay, Linda, you got this, with your nursing, you're going to understand all those words, right? And I read the book, part of it, and said, I can't deal with this. My grief brain cannot deal with this. So when I sat down to write my book, I wanted it to be relatable. I wanted it to be like you're sitting here beside me and you just lost the person that you love the most in your life. Of course, I talk about child loss, but grief is for everyone, right? And so you've lost that person. And so then I just talk about what grief is, all the different components of grief. And I just wanted to write it relatable. The road, this is a road that we're on. So the chapters are all like the first chapter is the big boulder, it happened. And then, the pathway of perseverance and tools that we need. And that's pretty much the concept of how the book is. And it was published October 23, so 2 years ago coming up. And since then, I have been just, I guess it was a healing journey for me. It was cathartic for sure, day after day, digging deep into those feelings so that I could express them to the best of my ability. But, hopefully, I believe it's helped many people. I also published a book that Andrea wrote when she was in high school, and it was a project, and it's called Spooky Meets a Friend. And it's about a little black cat that shares. So that's an honor that I did for Andrea as well.
I love it. And how can we connect with you on social media?
Facebook is Linda Wesley Henderson, period. My name, my husband's name, Linda Wesley Henderson. And Instagram is Linda Henderson 5044. And YouTube is Linda Henderson at Mama Pain. At Mama Pain, I believe it is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before we wrap it all up, Linda, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
Grief is ugly, it's messy, trauma is ugly, it's messy, but it teaches us many lessons. But the biggest lesson that grief has taught me, I always knew it, but it taught me it saturated my body. Life is a gift, and it is not to be taken for granted. And so what I say is embrace the moments. Whatever those moments look like for you, if it's the early days and you're crying, embrace the moment that you can breathe. Embrace the moments, whatever they are. You know, when I go for a walk, like I said, I take pictures. When I go to the beach, I put my feet in the sand. I embrace those moments. I embrace the warmth of the sunshine. I embrace my family. Embrace the moments. Cherish the memories, because those memories that are pretty hurtful now, they cause tears, but those are precious moments in time that you had with your loved one. Embrace the moments, cherish the memories, and hope for tomorrow. That all creates hope for tomorrow.
I love that. Embrace the moments. Linda, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.